What's up, everybody? It's your boy Jamon Bolton with another episode of the Jamon Bolton Show. Just going to do a quick special edition. Today's NCAA recap. I know still games going on at the moment, but I kind of wanted to get it in because it's been such an exciting first couple of days of the tournament. You know, every year when the tournament starts, we expect a Cinderella to happen. We expect something else to come about. But, you know, we don't really expect it to be as exciting as it is. You know, so there's no need for me to really talk about what happened over the last couple of days. I mean, it's a few games that's happening right now, and then the Sweet 16 to be complete, sorry. But unless you've been hiding under a rock, unless you've been asleep, or unless you just don't watch sports, you kind of know what's happened the past weekend. The other day, you know, we saw history made. And me personally, my whole life watching the sport, I never, ever, ever, ever thought I'd see a 16 seed beat a 1. Now, we've seen it happen on the women's side. It's happened a few times, you know. But, I mean, looking at it now, I can't believe what happened. You know, for me, it's like UVA, they played the perfect season this year. You know, they weren't a team that was loaded with a ton of NBA talent. You know, they didn't have first-round prospects. They didn't have a bunch of one-and-done guys. You know, UVA is a program where they're going to get guys that's going to go for 2-3 years at the very least. 3 years at the very least, I should say. You know, but most guys that go to UVA, obviously, they go in there to be there as a part of a team, part of a family. You know, they love to have the one-and-done, but that's not the culture that's there. You know, they lost to UMBC, and they didn't just lose in the last second shot. They lost pretty bad. They lost by 20, you know. So for everyone involved, that was kind of shocking. You know, sitting here watching the game, you're just like, nah, this is not going to happen. This is not going to happen. And then you're just kind of like, nah, it happened. It really did happen. I mean, for the number one team in the country to not give up 70 points to a team like Duke at Cameron, you know, they haven't given up 70 all year, if I'm not mistaken. You know, they lost by 20. So it just seems like they couldn't get it going at all. You know, growing up, again, like I just mentioned, you never thought that would happen. I remember being a little boy. You know, 89, you had Georgetown defeat Princeton 50-49, and that was a close game. Then, you know, Oklahoma, the same year, they were trailing by 17 at one point to ETSU, East Tennessee State. They ended up coming back to win 72-71. You know, you had Michigan State. The Steve Smith-led Michigan State team, that was really good, and they probably should have won a national championship that year, but they got upset by Georgia Tech and Kenny Anderson and Dennis Scott and the crew. You know, they got taken overtime by Murray State, and they ended up prevailing. Then you had Western Carolina, who took Purdue all the way down to the buzzer 96, and it was like a close, it was like 72-71, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, again, nobody saw that happening. You know, UVA has played the perfect game. You know, they've been great all year. I mean, they had, you know, you got Kyle Guy, first team all ACC, you know, Ty Jerome, he's third team. I mean, these guys are great players, man. These guys are really great players. You never think that this thing is going to happen, but this is what the tournament is about. You know, people always kind of wonder, like, oh, if it was the best 2 out of 3, that's why it's the best sporting event to me. You know, outside of certain events like a game 7 of the NBA Finals, you know, a baseball, the World Series or something like that. You know, the excitement level is the same, but this is just one. You got to get it right or you're not going to, you know, you get it right or you're not going to be in there you're not going to be in there very long. So that's kind of what it is and what happens. I have no clue if, you know, losing Hunter for the tournament was a big part of it. You know, he's a six man. He had wrist surgery. But, I mean, even still, you know, if you lose a key component or a key person on your team, everyone else should kind of have that next man up mentality. And, you know, for what it's worth, I mean, we don't know what happened, man. I'm really in shock saying this because, I mean, I had them on one of my brackets as winning it. I really thought they were going to win it. Everybody had them. A lot of people that I spoke to had them in the Final Four at the very least. I had them losing to Villanova in the final because I thought Villanova had too much firepower. But even in the back of my mind, I was like, they can probably do it. You know, they were tied up at the half. And then, you know, as the half came about, you look at it, you say, okay, they're going to turn it on. It just never seemed to get going. It was pretty, pretty damn bad. It was just like, I don't even have the numbers in front of me as far as what they shot, but it was really bad. They could never really get their groove going. I mean, the players looked really dejected. I mean, they had no answer. And then it doesn't hurt that UMBC is hot and they're on fire. You know what I mean? So they go from being an unknown. I knew what UMBC stood for. Most people didn't even really know what it was. And most people have been joking online on Twitter and things like that. And it was like, that's where Stringer Bell from the Wire. That's where he took his classes at, you know? So unless you're somebody that's a part of the culture, you know, pop culture, and you, like, remember the Wire, you're not going to remember many things about that reference, with the Stringer Bell reference, you know? So it was, look, this is NCAA tournament. This is what it's about, you know? But again, like I said, I thought they had a chance to make a decent run. Chris Broussard from, you know, from Fox Sports, he made a pretty good comment on his Twitter account. He said they don't have any players rejected to go in the draft, which doesn't really mean much because, you know, a good team can really play together. They can bring it together. And they were a team. They were the epitome of a team. Yeah, they had a first-team All-ACC guy, Kyle Guy. But it's still, like, again, it's still something where you say, hey, look, we can still make something happen. We should not lose to a 16 seed. That's what I'm trying to say, man. You know, when the committee's selecting these teams, committee's like, look, I'm going to put them against a 16 seed. This never happens. You know, and it's the first time. It's the first time for everything. I always said this would never happen in my lifetime. I think it'd be a lot of close games, but I guess I was wrong. And I said that a couple days prior to it, you know. But let me get back to this comment. He was like, they don't really have any big time talent. And in today's game, the gap between the best and worst are much smaller than it was back in, you know, the 80s and the 90s, you know, because if you look back on it, you know, Georgetown wasn't losing to a 16 seed when they had Patrick Ewing and those guys. You know, Michael Jordan's North Carolina team wasn't losing to a 16 seed. So you know how that goes. A lot of people saying it's the biggest upset in tournament history. I kind of have to agree, not with them, but with other people were saying, from a standpoint of historic, you know, from a number standpoint, 16-1. Of course, you know, we're gonna go with that. We're gonna say that. But for me, I personally think, I really think the whole the Georgetown Villanova game may have been bigger than the NC State Houston game. May have been that might be 1A, 1B as far as biggest upsets. I think NC State, because they had to win their tournament to get into the big dance, and they actually made a decent run, and they had that miracle run that year in the postseason, winning a conference and then going on and eventually winning it with that last second shot. I mean, we all know the story. Vavano running around the court crazy, and they beat the almighty Houston team, the Clyde Drexler, Hakeem Olajuwon, Fonseca, and Majema team. So you kind of know, you know, that's kind of where it's at right now. But the Villanova Georgetown game is just as equally impressive as far as the upset, because they had to play the perfect game to beat Georgetown, and they did. They shot almost 80% from the field that game, and they kind of held the ball. And, you know, in Georgetown's defense, if you can't get the ball, you can't do nothing about it. They just didn't execute. Willie Massimino had his guys ready. They came in, and I remember Ed Pinckney talking about it. He said, when you look at the when you looked at the paper that day, it said Villanova versus a god. So that goes to describe how big Georgetown was. I mean, for us guys that are in our 30s, we saw Patrick Ewing play with the Knicks. But guys that are a little bit older, they saw him at Georgetown. So he was revered in the NBA, but in college, it was like he was the man. And I mean that in all capital letters. You know what I mean? Like, he was the man. So, you know, the Knicks obviously had huge expectations, and everybody thought it was going to be, you know, the franchise did turn around, and we expected Bill Russell-like results as far as championships go, and it didn't happen. But, you know, that doesn't take away from Patrick's greatness. What I'm saying, that in college, that Villanova defeat kind of was really like, whoa, they really did it. I can't believe it. So, to this day, you know, it's probably like one of those games. And then, if you want to be technical, you can kind of throw in a Chaminade game when Chaminade defeated Virginia. You know, Chaminade's Division II. So, when they defeated Rob Sampson and his crew, that's probably maybe pound for pound, maybe the greatest upset in the history of the NCAA Division I basketball, even though Chaminade's Division II. That may be up there. I mean, it could be other games that are bigger, you know, but a Division II team shouldn't even be on the court with a Division I team of Virginia stature at that time. So right now, I thought it was a perfect time for them to kind of really, how should I say, like kind of carve their own piece of history in Virginia hoop lore. Because right now, Virginia is still Ralph Sampson's program. They've been good. You know, you had Corey Alexander's and things like, and you know, you had Corey Alexander, you had Junior Burrow, you had those guys there. You know, you had some pretty decent guys, you know, Brogdon and those guys a few years ago. You had some pretty decent players, but it's just kind of like, I mean, what's next? You know, they had the perfect opportunity to go. And I think, you know, just even with the other upsets happening, with Arizona losing, you know, and then Kentucky being, I thought they matched up better with Kentucky. And that was the big hurdle everybody thought they had to get over, which was the Arizona hurdle. So looking on it now, I just think they didn't strike when the iron was hot, and they kind of really, really missed a great opportunity. Doesn't take away from this season, but it kind of makes you go, damn, like, I feel really bad because they had a chance to make it through. But there's always next year. The team is pretty much going to be intact. I don't really think they're going to lose very many plays. I don't even know who they had commit to the school. But, you know, Bennett's a great coach. You know, they won't be 31-3 again next year, to say the least. But, you know, these guys, Ty Jerome, he'll be a junior. He and Kyle Guy, they'll be a year older, a little bit more experience. And we'll see what happens. And hopefully, you know, when they get everybody back, they'll be ready to ball again. But it sucks that they're on the side of history, man. The first time ever, man. So, big shout out to UMBC. Shout out to UVA for a great season. Nothing to hang their head about. I mean, it happens. I mean, they're going to be pissed about it for a few days. But at the same time, you can't do anything about it. You really have to come in, and you really got to play. You know, what can you do? I mean, hopefully, you know, he recruits well. He loads up. He gets his guys ready. And the next year, they can actually make a decent run. I don't, you know, but this year was just so magical. Everybody really thought they had it in them to kind of make that magical run, as did I. So, but nothing to be ashamed of, UVA. Just now, forever, you know, whenever history's mentioned, talk about a 16 beating a 1, you guys will be the first team that pops up. So, tough luck. All right, let's continue on with what happened. A few more games over the past weekend. Let's talk about Thursday's game, Buffalo at Arizona. You know, we all were expecting everything. Like, we all were expecting what we thought. We thought Buffalo was going to get in there. They're going to get ran off the court. I mean, Arizona, again, 27-8. They were a 4 seed. They got seeded wrong. Many people think they probably should have been at least a 2 or 3. It could be because of the investigation. The NCAA committee was kind of like gritting their teeth with this one. It's like, let me just give them a 4. This is what we can give them without making it look suspicious as if we have some hidden agenda. That's just my philosophy, what I think with it. I mean, what I think about the situation, just because, you know, again, like, if you don't know anything or you haven't heard anything, you know, Sean Miller's being investigated, you know, for $100,000 payment to DeAndre Ayton. He's on tape, supposedly, but tape hasn't been exposed yet. So as of right now, they're just up in, they're in limbo right now. But, you know, Buffalo played well. I mean, they shot 54% from two. They shot 54% from three. And they hit 85% of their free throws. So it's just kind of like, damn, you know, it's one of those situations where it's like, what's really going on? And on Arizona's case, you know, your best player can't have 13 shots. It's like, yeah, you know, he had a decent game, 14 and 13, but he took 13 shots. You know, 2 of 5 from the free throw line. He didn't have a good game at all. He didn't have any fouls. So it really seemed like he was being aggressive that game, because it's like, how do you only have, you know, how do you have no fouls? Like, you're a big man. You're 7'1". To get in there and mix it up with everybody, you know, I find that to be a little odd. But, I mean, he just had a game that was very unlike him, you know, because he killed the regular season. Anybody who watched him play this season, I mean, the kid's a monster. He's a beast. I mean, he went off on everybody that he played against. And this is odd, but when they're hitting every shot, when they're making everything that they throw up, there's nothing you can really do. You know, Arizona, they really shoot well. You know, if you look at their numbers, they shot 45 from two, 11% from three, and 72% from the line. So that'll probably do it. That'll probably make you suffer, you know. Again, now with the program, is the season is done with them, you know, you got, you know, DeAndre Ayton and Trier, they both declared for the draft. Ral Atkins could probably try. See where his status is at with the drive, and if he tests well, he probably won't come back. I mean, he had a pretty decent sophomore year. It was hurt for a little bit, but he had a pretty good year. Then the wild card is Sean Miller. What's really going to happen with him? We don't really know. You hear the rumors about, you know, what I heard the other day, you know, the FBI investigation, NCAA can't do anything until the FBI is done investigating. I heard this on Shaq's podcast. So he knew about everything before anything else kind of took place, which is why his son decommitted from Arizona and went to UCLA. Now, it's kind of like when the FBI is done. What is Arizona going to do? Their hands seem to be tied right now. So who knows if the FBI is going to drag this out or what. But there have been rumors talking about, oh, he may jump at the Pittsburgh job because his family's there. You know, Arizona's been good since he's been there. But it's like, you know, you don't want to kind of leave a mess and you go somewhere else and they kind of hold you accountable. And you left this mess on the West Coast. So right now, the program is facing some transition. You know, they're losing a few seniors. You know, they also losing, you know, again, they're losing their two of their best players. You know, number one pick in the draft, and Trier. They may be losing their coach as well, so we don't really know. So Arizona's kind of in a limbo. A lot of people were joking too, though, saying that, you know, the NCAA committee was happy about this. You know, like, bro, we don't really want this team in there. Because, you know, you look at USC, it's like, why did they make it? They had a pretty damn good record. It's like, I would have probably put USC in the tournament over Syracuse. You know, you know, USC had a better record. You know, and who knows what their reasoning is. You know, it's like with Oklahoma making it to the tournament. You're like, why did they make it to the tournament? They didn't deserve to be in there. Trae Young is must-see TV. Everybody wanted to see him get there. You know, they struggled. And, you know, hearing the committee chairman talk on a selection show just didn't make any sense. Like, oh, what you do in the beginning means just as much as what you do now. I was always of the mindset, like, look, if you don't do anything and if it's crappy and if you're not going to have a good season, even if you start off number 2, number 3 in the country and you kind of fall off towards the end of the year, you just won't make it to the big dance. So that's kind of the impression I've always been under. But right now, you know, I think it's going to be a black cloud over that program right now. So with the departures from the draft, the seniors graduating, then the head coach, they got a lot going on right now. I just really think this is a year for them as well to kind of make a really good run, because they matched up really well with Kentucky, I think. You know, as far as what would have been the game today, I don't know, man. It's just weird. You know, not today. It would have been a game yesterday. I'm sorry. But I think they matched up really well with Kentucky. They would have caused some fits. Had they been able to get past it, I was looking forward to seeing Knox from Kentucky go against Ayton and see how well that would have been. But now we'll never know, because they're home now and they didn't make the best of their opportunity. And so right now we kind of just have to wait and see what happens with them when everybody decides, when NCAA decides to, or when they get permission after the FBI is done doing what they do, to see what happens. Because I think Sean Miller might be in some trouble. You know, tapes haven't been released yet, so we just don't know. So they got a black cloud over their program right now. So who knows? Arizona's need to regroup. You know, I know they lost a lot of recruits. They lost Sharif O'Neal. They lost they lost another point guard, a McDonald's All-American. His name will come to me. He re-signed with Villanova. Javon Quarterly, I'm sorry. And that would have been great to kind of keep the tradition going right now, but they kind of starting from scratch again. But they'll be okay. Just a lot of uncertainty going on at the moment. All right, y'all, welcome back, man. I want to go on and continue on with some more games. I want to start with the Loyola game, Loyola and Miami. We all know what that was about. It was a damn good game by Loyola. You know, they came down, hit that game-winning shot against Miami. I mean, I had Miami, you know, losing in the next round to Tennessee. Obviously, I was wrong in both. My brackets are just jacked up, by the way. So I got no say-so on nothing this year as far as my brackets. My brackets are completely done. If I look on my ESPN tournament bracket, they just like, yo, all your brackets are in danger of losing. So that's pretty much over with. I just lost all faith in that. But, you know, they played a real good game. Those guys came out ready to play. But Loyola's like this year's feel-good story. You know what I mean? UMBC, everybody feels good because they were the 16th seed. But, you know, the whole thing with Loyola, you know, we're just enjoying the ride with them. You know, we fell in love. We all love a feel-good story, obviously. And they got like 98-year-old Sister Jean has been like a, you know, she's been kind of like a good luck charm for the school. You know, she's a nun with them. She's been traveling with them. And she kind of like, you know, she's a sweet old lady. The media's been covering her with the guys. And, you know, she's like, she prays for her boys every day. So everybody loves a feel-good story. But they've been out there balling, man. I watched them play Tennessee yesterday, and it was kind of like looking at them playing. It was like, yo, hold on. They got some game here. You know, nobody was expecting them to make any kind of noise, really. You know, everybody was expecting them to come in there. You know, they may have pushed Miami a little bit, but I was expecting Miami to kind of come back and win the game. But again, that's the beauty of March Madness. You never know what you're going to get. You never know what to expect. You can either come in here, you can be a team that's going to dominate and do what you're supposed to do, or you can be a team that gets caught slipping like UVA got caught slipping, and you ended up on the wrong side of history. And that's not a shot at them. But again, if this is best of two out of three, then we'd never see these upsets. But that's the beauty of it. It's one and done. You got to come in here. You got to do what you got to do. And you got to do the right thing. If not, you're going to be home. You're going to be home real quick. So a lot of these teams don't make it out. Because why? You know, like, They don't take advantage of what's happening. You know, you got to seize the moment. And again, it's not their fault. Sometimes it's just, who knows, man? The basketball gods have a way of working. You never know what's going to happen, man. So, you know, when they played Tennessee yesterday, I thought Tennessee was going to come back, and they've been led by Rick Barnes. You know, Rick Barnes has had the boys balling all year. But, you know, when Cinderella calls and everything's happening, you know, they shot 50% from the field yesterday against Tennessee, you know, 40% from three. You know, they didn't really turn the ball over much. They out-rebounded them by three. They just play hard and gritty. You know, in Tennessee, it wasn't like they played bad. But, I mean, they missed a few shots here and there that could have been a little bit better. They could have made a difference in the game. But, you know, a free throw here and there, and, you know, we have a different ball game. But that's what happens, you know. If you look back on it right now, I'm sure Tennessee's probably like, dang, you know, we really messed up. You know, we messed up on this, we messed up on that. You know, you hit two more free throws, then you're good to go. You know, but it doesn't work that way, you know. So, you look at it, Tennessee, just looking off the rip, Tennessee was 3-for-6. You know, let's say if they hit all their free throws for the game, they would not even hit. Even if they're 5-for-6, if they miss one, it's a different ball game. But Loyola's good, man. Loyola has a good chance to make some noise, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do, you know. Being that Tennessee's gone now, and I had Tennessee probably making a decent run, but that's not happening. So right now, as we stand right now, they're going to play the winner. They get a chance to play the winner of Nevada and Cincinnati. So that should be a goodie. We should see how that one works out. And, you know, then it's Sweet 16. And, you know, again, it's March Madness, man. Like, what do you expect? I mean, everybody's like, oh, these teams are going to blow these teams out. But, you know, I know what they expect. I personally didn't expect the 16 in one matchup to have the 16 seed to beat the one seed. That's just me. But, you know, other than that, I'm excited about it, you know. But let's move on to some more games. You know, we had Wichita State lose to Marshall, and the Marshall, they came and they balled out. You know what I mean? Wichita was a good team, you know, made the 2013 Final Four. You know, their head coach, Greg Marshall, he's been a great coach with those guys, you know. Marshall made shots that many people didn't expect them to make. So, again, when you're coming into the tournament and these teams are just hungry, you know, when they want to sit here and they, you know, these teams are out here trying to make names for themselves. Like, these guys, like, look, we're never going to be in this position again. Well, let's make the most of it, you know. And you got a team like Marshall, and they usually play well. And all of a sudden, they're not really playing well. It's kind of like, well, damn, what happened now? You know what I'm saying? So you kind of really have to strike while the iron is hot with these guys. You kind of really have to do what you have to do. You have to make up for it. You have to do the best that you can do. If not, you're going to be on the wrong side of history, you know. So it was great to see that, though. I think Marshall, you know, they play later on in the day. but I think they got a good chance of making a decent run. It was surprisingly to see them to beat Wichita again, but it's all about how well you play. It's all about these team stats and how well you play as a team. You know, Wichita shot 41% from the field, you know, 27% from three, turned the ball over 15 times to nine compared to Marshall. They out rebounded them by 14, but it's just like, oops. You know, Wichita had a pretty good year. I mean, they're always good, you know, 25-8, but I guess their good just wasn't good enough. You know what I'm saying? Butler defeated Arkansas. Pretty good margin as well. I didn't expect Butler to beat them. You know, I look at it like, look, Mike Anderson was going to have his team ready to rock and roll. It just didn't quite work out that way, you know. They beat them by 17, and Arkansas is a pretty decent team. So, back to the drawing board for them. You know, Butler got held off by Purdue today by three. But, you know, a shot here and there would have made a world of a difference. Now, Purdue's on to the Sweet 16. Then now you have Missouri and you have Florida State. Now, I'm a little confused with the Missouri and Florida State game just because, like, you know, Missouri never really got into it. You know, 32% from the field. Never really got it going. You know, Florida State, you got to give it up to them because they played a hell of a game. They played really well. You know, they was able to kind of really focus in and lock down on the players. You know, they won by 13. Lennon Hamilton always has his boys ready. And me, I'm probably one of the few people that probably would have said, you know, Michael Porter Jr., probably should have stayed out a little bit longer. He probably should have never came back. I would have just probably practiced with the team if I was him. He never really seemed to get in sync. He never really seemed to get his rhythm going. Just, you know, what he shot, what, he missed 12, what, 4-12 yesterday? He didn't really shoot well. He didn't really look good. I mean, the team's just kind of out of sync. I mean, again, it's great to have somebody like him playing. Top recruit last year. We all know what he can do. My personal opinion was like, look, he should just probably came back. Probably should have just sat. You shouldn't have come back. Probably should have just sat out the year. And just got ready for the draft. It's like, what else do you need to do? You know, you're not coming back, you know, to try to improve your draft stock. Your draft stock's improved as much as it can improve, you know? Like, you're not going to do anything to harm it. So I would have done that personally. But, I mean, you can't blame the kid for being competitive. I just think from a standpoint of it being the cohesiveness and the team really trying to get everything going, he just never really got it going accordingly. You know, he was, you know, you look at these numbers right now, and like I said, you know, Florida State, they shot terrible. It should have been worse. Looking at these numbers now, they've shot 58% from the line. That goes to show how well they dominated this game. You know, that was a little odd that, you know, they were able to still dominate shooting like that from the line. Like, Michael Porter was 4-12 from the field, 1-4 from three, 7-9 from the line. You know, 16 points, 10 rebounds. But it wasn't like, oh, it jumped out at you. It wasn't one of those kind of stat lines where it was like, yo, he did this, he did that. You know, he came back fast. You know, the kid was hungry. He wanted to help his team. And in all actuality, the team, it probably didn't really need him there. You know, the last night ended on a high note. If you look at the Michigan and Houston game, that was a great, great, great game. You know, you look at Jordan Poole, freshman kid. He played for Lalamia last year. He played with Brian Bowen, you know, center of the Louisville scandal and so forth. But the kid, I mean, he hit a big shot last night. You know, you look at it, lad, you look at it, you say, you know, these kids are here. They're in a tournament. They're hungry. They want to make names for themselves. You know, it was a joke going on last night. Talk about he'll never have to sit there and buy a drink in Michigan again just because of what he did last night. So, hit a big shot last night. Like I said, he's a freshman. You know, hit the big shot, send the game in overtime, make the game over. I'm sorry, I'm talking off the top of my head, but you know, he definitely made it work for him. In Houston's defense, you know, you got to make free throws. You can't sit there. And they both shot terrible, 37% for Houston, 35% for Michigan. You know, Houston with 10 turnovers. You know, they out rebounded Michigan by three. You know, but you got to hit your free throws. You know, you can't sit there and decide you want to. You know, you get to the free throw line, and it's a situation where it's kind of like the game's coming down to the wire, and then you miss a free throw, and then it causes you to lose the game. They missed six free throws last night, 16 for 22, and you figure like, hey, if you get a chance to hold off, then it'll be a little bit different. If you make one of the free throws, we're going into overtime. You make both of them, you know, we win the game. So I know there's nothing you can really do about it, but I mean, that's really how it goes last night. It sucked to see the team kind of like put their head down and be dejected and be defeated with everything. So that's kind of crappy, but, you know, he put up a good fight last night, but it was an awesome game last night. Jordan Poole hit the shot when it mattered most. It's just why I say you got to love March Madness, because you never know when these moments will come up. The kid's a freshman, took a shot like he was a senior and had all the poise in the world, and he went for it and made the shot. So big shout out to Jordan Poole of Michigan for pulling that off last night and making it work. So, look, you know, that's pretty much the rundown of what I have so far for this weekend. I mean, there's a few more games that's happening tonight. And obviously, I report on those when it actually happened. But as of right now, I'm looking at the North Carolina Texas A&M game, and A&M's got a pretty good lead, 17-18 to go. They're up by 18 on the defending national champion. So we'll see how that one works out. Also, want to report about the Syracuse game. They upset Michigan State 55-53. It was a nasty game. I mean, Michigan State didn't really play well. Syracuse didn't really play well either, but they did a little bit. They did a little bit more, just a little bit more than Michigan State to get the victory. They both shot terrible. Like I said, Michigan State was worse. 26%. It's horrible. You know, they missed their last 14 shots. You can't play like that and expect to win. You know, there's no tomorrow. You kind of got to make up for it. So it was a very close game, as we see. You know, but you figure if they don't miss those last 14 shots, they make two or three of those shots, it's a different ending. But, you know, Michigan State out rebounded Syracuse 51-30. They just couldn't hit anything. So, I mean, that's just how it is right now. Michigan State's probably going to be in a rebuilding phase again. But, you know, time does always get to back. I'm sure Miles Bridges will be declaring for the draft. I also want to shout out UConn's women. They defeated St. Francis the other day, 140-52. So, Gino Auriemma, he's amazing. I mean, even he had a quote yesterday. He said, like, he couldn't believe it. It was like, you know, it's one of the strangest things I've ever seen, to quote Auriemma. The pace of the game was like anything that you would expect in a tournament game like this. It was like watching one of the Loyola Marymount games. And if anybody doesn't know who Loyola Marymount is, that's where Hank Gathers went. He played there with Bo Kimble. You know, Paul West had coached them, and they kind of just were a team that would load you up on points. So, UConn, the 140 points, is the second most in the history of the NCAA, behind the aforementioned Loyola Marymount teams, who scored 149 in the NCAA tournament game. And yeah, man, it's the biggest victory in the history, man. You know, 88-point victory, that's crazy. Open around in the tournament. If all goes well, UConn will probably be marching on to another undefeated season. I don't see anybody coming close. I mean, last year it was kind of a fluke that they lost to Mississippi State, who eventually in return lost to South Carolina, who, you know, obviously they took advantage of UConn not being in the tournament. But, man, it's one of those years, man. Auriemma, you got to give it up for him. And his crew, they do what they do. They make the most of it, and they make it happen, man. He's always making magic happen. But we couldn't go without letting them, without sending them some love, man. Because, you know, it seems like the women's tournament gets put in the back burner a lot, and everybody does it. You know, it was also another great game today, Texas A&M. You know, they were down by 17, and they were down by 17 in the third quarter. They had the fourth largest comeback in NCAA history. They came back to beat DePaul 80-79. So that was a great game. You know, Trinity Carter, she had a late three-pointer, was able to kind of seal the deal for them. So two great games. You know, you got to shout out A&M, but I had to shout out UConn because what they do is unprecedented, you know. So that's really all I have for now. You know, again, I wanted to get something out about the tournament just because it was such an exciting weekend. It was something like unlike anything I've ever had. I'm expecting the Sweet 16 to be just as good. I mean, right now, as I'm talking, the game is you know, Carolina's down 20 now. They're defending national champion. So, again, it's still more magic happening. Cinderella's still out here. You know, some more teams are looking out there to kind of perform some magic. So, hopefully, we'll get a great comeback by Carolina and make this game interesting. Or it's going to be like the other games where all the teams have kind of, you know, fell by the wayside. But, like always, thank you for the support. Your boy Jamon Bolton. This is the Jamon Bolton Show. Don't forget to follow my guys at All Things Hoops. And don't forget to show love to my boy Troy Manson's Signature Socks over there. He's my show sponsor. Thank you for everything. Appreciate you. And I'll be back with you guys in a couple days.